I think that a lot of people do know some Aboriginal people that just don't realise it.
You look at my mum, she's English. You look at my dad, he's Aboriginal. And look at me, I'm a bit in between. I haven't got the flat nose anymore. I sometimes wish I did.
You know, just because I'm Aboriginal doesn't mean I have a flag tattooed to my forehead.
Like, most of them call me Auntie Lynn, and I'm happy to be their auntie, even though that I'm not.
Because I am Aboriginal because of my DNA, not because of my lingo.
Meet the Mob, a podcast from 1233 ABC Newcastle with Jill Emberson. Subscribe at abc.net.au/Newcastle.
I'm into Nilba Bay for Meet the Mob this morning on 1233 in the home of John and Sandra Ridgway. Thanks for having me at your place, John.
Thank you very much, darling. Yes, yes. You welcome me anytime. Anytime.
And I hear you're a bit of a singer.
I am. I'm a bit of an entertainer.
Bit of a crooner. What music do you like to listen to?
I like the around the 70s, 80s, 90s. Back in the days of Tom Jones, Engelbert Humperdinck, Elvis Presley, and people like that entertaining.
Did you play some of their songs when you went out to the nursing homes?
I did. I wouldn't mind singing one right now for you. Hey?
Oh, roll out the barrel. We'll have a barrel of fun. Try to roll the barrel for the gang's all here. You've got the cutest little baby face. A long way to Tipperary, but my heart's right there.
And with that music, John Ridgway, you have made your name in the nursing homes around the region. Is that right?
That's it. That's it, darling. That's it. Now I started singing the old songs with just the guitar. And then later on, we got some more equipment to let them sit back and relax and listen to me, the stuff that I done on with backing tracks.
Did you really like doing that, John?
Oh, I loved it. I miss it. I miss it now because after 33 years, if you've got something in your mind that you wanted to do for so long, you miss it because I do.
And did you do nursing homes all around the Hunter?
All around the Hunter and far down as Gorrickan, down the Central Coast and up around Cessnock, Maitland, Dungog, Stroud, Woolloodeela.
So you build a real name for yourself in That's doing it. This kind of singing.
That's it. I won quite a few awards what I was doing while I was doing this.
Like, oh, yeah, what kind?
2006, I think I was Port Stephens Volunteer of the Year. 2007, I was Port Stephens Citizen of the Year. Well, the year before last, I received the big one from the Queen, the OAM.
What was it like on the day you heard the news that you got an OAM for your contribution to these community groups for your music?
So I thought it was wonderful that I received this because after receiving all the other awards, there's probably one that I always wanted, and that was the one from the Queen. And I was very thrilled to pieces to get that award.
I understand, John, that it was actually an illness that led you to this career turn in your life. Could you want to tell me about that?
Yes, well, it was 33 years ago. I just forget what date it was. I went down through a sickness called bowel cancer, and I went to the doctor, and he said I'll give you a test, and he gave me a test, and I said I can't stand that. He said, well, come in the hospital tomorrow. He said, and I'll give you a proper test. So the next day I went to the hospital, and he gave me a proper test, and when I woke up, he said, you got bowel cancer, all right, but he said 90% I can cure you, but you'll have to wear a bag for the rest of your life. This was 33 years ago.
How'd you feel about that?
I didn't feel too good about it because, you know, I didn't know what I was going to go through. I didn't know what was the outcome of it. But after he'd done the operation, I was out on the balcony, and I tried to make it to the edge of the balcony so I could throw myself off, get rid of myself, but I just couldn't move. So in the meantime, I got better and better and better, and I went back to my doctor later on, and he said, look, I can't seem to work with this bag on me, carrying this bag on me.
The colostomy bag.
Colostomy bag. And he said, well, what do you like to do? And I said, well, I like doing entertaining. And he said, well, why don't you grab your guitar, he said, and go around nursing him or something like that. And this is how it started.
It sounds like it gave you some hope, John, when you were a bit despairing about the prospect of having to have a colostomy bag for the rest of your life.
It did. It did. It gave me a great up. I felt a lot of better after the first month or so when I was when I got in my prime entertaining around nursing homes. I think I used to do about 200 a year, 200 nursing homes a year.
You were busy.
I was busy. Besides the 15 years, the wife and I was doing foster children.
Foster children in addition to your own 8 children.
Yes. Yes. And also, I end up starting to do Welcome to Countries. Now, Warramaa Country, which I'm a Warramaa elder, Warramaa Country spans from Stockton, North Arm on the Anna River, out to Gresford, up to Gloucester, across to Foster, take the entire coastline south back to Stockton. Now, that was a big bit of country that the Warramaa owned back in the early days, our ancestors owned. And it just come back to us, because that life missed us for a long time until we started getting the land council back, and we started looking at things like learn the language again. And I'd just like to give one little illustration of what these Welcome to the Countries are. I speak on behalf of all Warramaa people, past and present, when I say, Yerun Gujiku, Yuranang Yugugani, Marung Barai, Warramaa Barai. What I just said, if I translate that back to English, is we welcome you all here to this great land, Warramaa land. Enjoy your night. Thank you very much.
Is the Warramaa language hard to learn?
It is. It is very hard to learn because our fathers and forefathers never taught us the language. It seemed to drift away. What our grandfathers probably had in mind, that they kept it to themselves until many, many, many years later.
Did you ever hear your family speaking it?
Only a few things. Just like, for argument's sake, policeman, we used to call him Gundiwong. Gundiwong for a policeman, see? As a Warramaa elder, you know, I listened to a song many, many years ago on the radio, and it come up to it's a bit of a country song that I'm almost changed the words. It's called I'm a dinky die Aussie all over. This is more or less explaining to what I am. Well, I'm a Warramaa born, I'm a Warramaa bred. I'm Warramaa through and through. I'm glad to say that I was born this way. I'll tell you, mate, I'm true blue. I'm proud to be in this land of the free, and I love my land down under. I guess you could say without a doubt that I'm a Warramaa elder all over. You won't mind me traveling foreign land. There's plenty here to see. Oh, I spend my money somewhere else, or it'll be no good for me. Well, I'm a Warramaa born, I'm a Warramaa bred, I'm Warramaa through and through. I'm glad to say that I was born this way. I'll tell you, mate, I'm true blue. I'm proud to be in this land of the free, and I love my land down under. I guess you could say without a doubt that I'm a Warramaa elder all over. Oh, to me this land is paradise, the beauty's hard to toss.
Why, there's nothing better than to spend a night around a fire beneath the Southern Cross. Well, I'm a Warramai born, I'm a Warramai bred, I'm Warramai through and through. I'm glad to say that I was born this way, I'll tell you, mate, I'm true blue. I'm proud to be in this land of the free, I love my land down under. I guess you could say, without a doubt, that I'm a Warramai elder all over. And when my time has come to go underneath the bloke up top, well, my spirit will wander to my sunbed home, 'cause my love for her won't stop. Well, I'm a Warramai born, I'm a Warramai bred, I'm Warramai through and through. I'm glad to say that I was born this way, I'll tell you, mate, I'm true blue. I'm proud to be in this land of the free, and I love my land down under. I guess you could say without a doubt that I'm a Warramai elder all over. Well, I guess you could say without a doubt that I'm a Warramai elder all over.
What a treat to have an original song sung by you, John Ridgway, here at your gorgeous home in Tanilba Bay. Thanks for having me around for Meet the Mob. Apart from your music, John, I understand that you and your wife, Sandra, are also pretty active in, what is it? Is it the Indigenous Olympics?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. Yes.
Tell me about that.
Oh, well, now this was a... must have been a credit to us, because I think the year before last, the first time we ever went into it, and we ended up winning it up at Taree.
Who's we?
The Warramai Land Council, see?
Oh, you sent a team?
That's right. It was called the Elders Olympics. And after winning from Taree, we had to hold it down here in Port Stephens. So we must have had about 200 odd people come down, like, and it was something like 15 land councils come out to participate in this. It's a great event, not only competing against one another, it was meeting people that we never met before, on which this was great to me. It was in my heart more or less to enjoy talking to people that I never met before from different places around New South Wales.
What sports do you compete in, John?
The sport that we played was quoits, throwing the bean bag, you know, in the loops. What was the other dollar?
Shot put or?
Netball.
Throwing the boot?
Oh, throwing the boot, yes. They couldn't beat us throwing the boot, because being old oyster farmers, you know, They got surprised. The 3 years that we've been in it, they got the shock of their lives. And because of knowing that we can throw the rubber boots, they never had it up at Kempsey.
They took the
boots out of it.
John, yeah. I'm sorry. I've never heard of the sport called throwing the rubber boot. Tell me about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, they had two different size boots, like one short, one of the long ones, and they had different
targets.
Different lengths on the ground. But I think the furthest we thrown it was about 40 metres.
A rubber boot.
Yeah.
And you won.
Yeah, we won it. We won it. That's our biggest score. The rubber boots.
I can't stop laughing. It just seems so funny. Was it? Is it?
It was. It was funny, I tell you, because some of them were pretty elderly and you know, No, it was great. It was great. It goes on every year, so...
I've got to get along to the next one just to see the rubber boot.
You will have to come along and see the rubber boot being thrown. Yes, it's great.
I'm in the home of John and Sandra Ridgway in Tanilba Bay for Meet the Mob with Jill Emberson on 1233 ABC Newcastle. I feel you've got such a rich story to tell, John. I'm only going to be able to scratch the surface, but you made a little... reference there to another big part of your story, and that's oyster farming. What did you do with oysters?
Well, I worked for the biggest oyster farmers in the world, not only Australia but the world. That was up at Oyster Cove. Now the chap that I worked for, he came from England back in the early 1900s, and him and his brother come over, brought some sheep over to start a station farm up, growing sheep. But it never took off. So he went back home to England, he come back out here and he said to his brother, I think we'll start oyster farming. So it started off from them, and going back from me dad, our fathers and their fathers, which was our grandfather, they all started this Mr. Phillips Hof. Mr. Phillips, he was a top bloke to work for. He gave us all accommodation. He built houses for us on the property, and he also put our little shop there, the grocery shop that we used to buy the groceries from. In the 19 years that I worked there, I only had one holiday in the 19 years I was there. I only had 2 weeks off in the 19 years I was there.
I hope you were paid well, John.
Oh, yes. We done a lot of contract work, you know, which was weekend work. You work for yourself, and also the weekend work that I done out there was more or less paid for me tax.
Okay.
Weekend work, yeah.
Okay.
I loved it. It was a job. Now, remember...
What did you love about it?
Well, put it this way. There's only two jobs that the Aboriginal folks... back in the early days, knew about. That was timber cutting and also oyster farming. It was two jobs that you never had to go to tech to learn or university to learn. You went straight from your head. That's the two jobs I used to do, is timber cutting and oyster farming.
Where were you doing the timber cutting?
I used to do timber cutting with my dad and my brother. And we used to cut about 30 tonne a day. That's two truckloads a day.
Where was that?
That's up in the Moyle Lakes cutting tea tree. And that's only with an axe, because the chainsaws was never made back in them days. Chainsaws, it was all axe work.
So you were a pretty strong young man,
oh,
John.
Oh, yes. Yes, we used to load our trucks ourselves, load the trucks by hand, build a bit of muscle on you. Because we no cranes was ever made back in them days. No chainsaws were made back in them days.
So when you met your wife Sandra, who you've been married to all these years, who's sitting there over in your lounge room now, I imagine you would have been a bit of a, you know, buff looking good looker, were you?
I must have been, because there's quite a few of us boys used to go down to Stockton down there to enjoy a bit of game of pool in the hotel down there and look around the place, and all the other boys more or less found a girlfriend. And I was the only one that used to drive the car and used to take them down there. And I never had a girlfriend at the time, but my wife, she was standing at the back of the crowd there one day, and I think she never said this, but she said, "Will you go and ask that bloke there, could he go with me?" And I said, "Yes, okay. We'll meet up the top Jude box. We had the top Jude box and the bottom Jude box at Stockton." And that's where it started.
How many years ago was that?
That was 55 years ago.
Still
and
together?
We're still together.
Congratulations.
We're still together after 55 years now. I don't know, not too many will stay together like that, you know.
And as I look around your lounge room here in your home with Sandra, John, full of your big
family, your kids, your grandkids, and I'd say there's some great-grandkids in there maybe.
Oh,
are there?
Yes, we got how many grandkids we got? 26 grandkids. 26 grandkids
and
10 great-grandkids. I love kids. I love kids because, you know, being around the schools and all, they always come up to me, "How you going, Mr. Ridgeway," and all this. They love me. I love kids. I love kids.
Yeah. And as you look at your grandchildren and great-grandchildren going to school today in this long life that you've lived, John Ridgeway, you've come a long way from growing up on the mission, I understand,
in
our region.
Yes, from 14 years up to 74 now. I enjoyed every part of it, even though I had trouble with myself, like through sickness, but I enjoyed every minute of it.
Even the days on the mission?
Days on the mission. We used to have fun on the mission because as kids we used to, about 13 to 20 of us, we used to make a fire in the middle of the mission and tell yarns and that and sit around the fire right through the 12 months of the year. We all enjoyed. But crew mission back in them days was more or less a mission of very, very church-going people. And our parents brought us up in the right ways, like Sunday school and then church. And we taught our kids to do the same thing. But this is where it's fallen down. They never taught their kids the same thing. That's why it's fallen apart.
It's a very different world now for young kids.
It's a different world now. Not only that, but see with the drug problems that they've got around now, it's terrible. The law and that and the government's got a fight on their hands now to try to stop all this.
You've at least got your health still on your side, John Ridgeway, and your guitar and your music stand. You haven't got the strength to get around to the nursing homes anymore, but when you get the chance, you get that guitar out and sing. It's a beautiful thing.
I will, darling, yeah. I miss it. I miss it a heck of a lot because it's in my heart to do what I love doing best. And if ever my lungs get back to normal, I'll probably get back out and entertain them again.
Well, let us know when you do.
I will. I'll do that, yes.
Thank you so much for letting me come and visit you at your home in Tanilba Bay.
Thank you very much, darling. Thank you very much. Anytime.
You've been listening to a 1233 ABC Newcastle podcast. For more, visit our website at abc.net.au/newcastle.